This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Dearest brothers and sisters, these are some of the most difficult times that we have probably experienced in our life. I know for some people, these times are the most difficult from all of their life. We have the pandemic, coronavirus to be worried about, to be anxious about, and then we have the lockdown with the restrictions which makes life difficult, as well as the financial worries that it carries with it as well. We're afraid for ourselves, we're afraid for our loved ones, especially our elders. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all and to preserve us. But we often probably find ourselves saying, I need to have sabr. I need to have sabr. I need to learn to have more sabr. And we struggle with this. In the back of our mind, we know that Allah loves the people who are patient. Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah loves those who have sabr. And we know that the people who have sabr are those who are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the prophets of Allah, they displayed sabr throughout their life. But the question is, what does sabr really mean? What does it mean to have sabr? So let's speak about this for a moment. The word itself, sabr, in Arabic, means to hold back or to restrain or even to choke something. The Arabs would say, "Mata fulan bi sabr." The person died because of sabr. And what that means is that the person was choked. And the idea of choking is one of restraining someone. Now, this is the linguistic meaning. As for the religious meaning, sabr means to have control of your emotional state so that you restrain your tongue from saying anything that displeases Allah and restrain your body from behaving in a way that will earn Allah's anger. This is the meaning of sabr, to be able to control your emotional state. In good times, for example, you become very happy, overjoyed, and people can say things which Allah would be displeased with. People can do things that Allah would be displeased with. But on the opposite side, when people go through difficult times, become very anxious, very worried, they can say things which may curse the will of Allah or show that they are unhappy, unsatisfied with what Allah has decreed. Or worse than that, when someone passes away, it is difficult and painful, but then a person starts to wail, a person starts to shout and scream, they lose control of themselves. So having sabr means to be able to hold back and control your emotional state so that you don't end up doing something which crosses a line and earns you the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an amazing incident in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which shows us how he managed to overcome such emotional states and hold back from crossing that line. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he faced many tragedies in his life. For example, when he lost his son Ibrahim, who was still an infant and who he loved dearly. He passed away when he was an infant, and in a narration, the Prophet ﷺ was seen by the graveside after he had buried his son, and he was crying. Tears were pouring down his blessed cheeks, and the companion said to him, Ya Rasulullah, do you cry? And they were surprised to see that a man, on top of that, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is so emotional and is crying. For them, it was something unmanly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something amazing. He said, "Inna al-'ayna latadma'." He said that indeed the eyes do shed tears. "Wa inna al-qalb yahzan," and the heart is paining right now. The heart is grieving right now. "Wa la naqulu illa ma yarda rabbuna." But he said, we will not say anything that will displease our master. Subhanallah. So he was teaching us that, look, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be worried. It's okay even to cry when things don't go your way. But then he said, I'm not going to allow my emotions to get the better of me and say something that's going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what it means to have sabr. Moreover, the scholars, they explain that sabr is not just about having patience, which is often how we translate it. For example, the great scholar Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he explained that sabr is actually of three forms. We only think of the first form, but there are two others that we are not aware of. For example, he said that the first form of sabr is to be patient. over things that are beyond your control. For example, you fall sick and it wasn't anything to do with what you had done. A person loses a loved one. It's beyond their control. A person is made redundant despite their best efforts. All of these things are beyond their control. They have sabr, meaning that they are patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then what are the other two? He said the next is to have sabr, which means to be able to continue to do good in one's life. What does that mean? It means that when you have to wake up for Fajr in the morning, it is not easy. It is difficult. Praying five times a day is difficult. Fasting the month of Ramadan is difficult. Being kind to people in your life is difficult. But to overcome the difficulty is an act of sabr. And this is the second form of having sabr, to be able to continue to do good deeds. The third then, he said, is self-discipline. To be able to hold back on impulse and desire to say, no, I will not do that which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all have waswas from shaitan, tempting us, luring us to do things that are haram, to do things that will undermine our own integrity and honor. And when a person says, no, I'm not going to do that, that is the third form of sabr. Now what is really interesting is that Ibn Taymiyyah then goes on to explain which of the three is the highest form of sabr, the most pleasing and the most rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, as for the least of the three, then it is to have sabr over that which you have no control. For example, somebody lost a loved one or somebody lost their job. He says that if a person had sabr, meaning they had patience, of course this is something amazing and valued by Allah, but ultimately, what choice does that person have? There's nothing else that they can do apart from have patience. Well, it is possible that a person could lose control and to become overly frustrated, but then after some time, people learn to deal with their difficulties and become and come to terms with it. So this is then the first form of sabr, which he is saying is actually the lowest. Out of the other two, number two, which is what? To have sabr in doing good versus the third, which is self-discipline. He says that out of these two, sabr in doing good is actually more valued by Allah than self-discipline type of sabr. Why? It's very interesting, subhanAllah. He says, if we look at the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, he went through four trials in his life. The first trial was that of envy. His brothers hated upon him and they threw him into the bottom of a well, left him for dead. It was out of his control, but he had sabr, the first form. The second trial that he had to face was to be made a slave and later on to be put into prison. And that is a trial of dhulm. He was oppressed. And in that is another trial that he has no control over. Did he have sabr? Yes, he did. But then there are two more trials in his life. The trial of temptation, when the wife of Aziz tried to seduce him. When she tried to seduce him, you have to imagine how difficult that must have been. He's a slave, he's unmarried, he's not living with his family. On top of that, she locked all the doors. And then she tried to entice him, seduce him. And she is from the rich and famous. And he said, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He says, I seek a place of refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. And he ran to the door. This is the third form of sabr, self-discipline. That shaitan brought to him a desire, a temptation. And he said no in the most beautiful way. And then the last trial of his life was that of power. He was made into the Aziz. He is the state treasurer of one of the greatest states or countries in the entire world, the Egyptian Empire. And in that position of power, he didn't allow it to corrupt him. Rather, he used it to benefit the people, to help them from the famine that they were facing and to lift them from their recession. And so, in a way, the power that he had didn't corrupt him. He continued to do good. And that is the second form of sabr, the sabr in doing good. Now Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, out of all of these trials, the form of sabr which was the most difficult and the most rewarded for was to do good. Even more than self-discipline. Why? He explains. He says that the evils that come from abandoning good deeds are far worse in the sight of Allah than the evils that come from making mistakes and sinning. On top of that, when a person does a good deed, Allah says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبَنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, that verily the good deeds, they wipe away the bad ones. So if you abandoned a good deed, what you have done is lost the chance to delete a bad deed. And for these reasons and more, having sabr in continuing to do good deeds is actually the greatest form of sabr and puts you in the best position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the things we learn from this, my brothers and sisters, is that it doesn't matter how bad you are, it doesn't matter how much you are sinning, never let go of your good deeds. Never say, I'm not worthy of praying to Allah, of raising my hands to Allah, of doing good deeds, because I'm doing so many bad things on the side. No, this is the trap of shaitan. If you continue to do good, not only is it the best form of sabr, but it will also diminish the wrong that you are doing in your life, and inshallah act as an expiation. May Allah Jalla wa Ala make us of the sabireen, people that have sabr when things don't go their way, people that have self-discipline, and people who continue to do good. وَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. A few practical tips on how to have sabr in one's life. One of the ways to inspire yourself to have more patience in life is to read the stories in the Quran about people who went through difficulty and had sabr. For example, think of Ya'qub, the father of Yusuf. He had his most beloved son ripped away from him and kidnapped, taken to an undisclosed location, and then had to separate from him for, some scholars said, 40 years. I use the word kidnap because Ya'qub knew that Yusuf wasn't dead. He knew that because Allah had shown him through the dream of his son that later on Yusuf would become great. So when his other son said, the wolf has eaten him, he knew that they were lying, but at the same time, he didn't know where his son was. And the Quran tells us that that really did affect Ya'qub alayhi salam. وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ, the Quran says that his eyes turned white out of grief, meaning he cried so much that either he became partially sighted or he lost the ability to see. He was full of pain. But what kept him going? What gave him sabr? What gave him sabr is remembering that Allah has given me a sign that things one day will change. What was that sign? It was that dream where Yusuf came to him as a child and said, my father, I have seen the 11 stars and the sun and moon bowing down to me. That was always in his mind. So whenever he felt like the world had become too difficult and things are getting too tough, he will remind himself, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know something from Allah that you don't. Meaning, Allah has given me something to fall back on and to take strength from. In the same way, we all have something in our past where Allah has lifted us from a difficulty which we can recall in the next trial that we face in our life. I mean, it's so simple. When we were in the wombs of our mothers, we were the most vulnerable, we couldn't do anything for ourselves. And when we entered this world, we needed the care, love, and protection of other people because we couldn't do anything ourselves. And did we do well? Alhamdulillah, we are here today. Why? Because Allah was taking care of us. Allah gave us parents. Allah gave us resources. Allah gave us opportunities. And today, we are here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of us in our most vulnerable moment. If that is the case, what then about every other moment in our life? Nothing will make you more desperate than you were when you were a baby entering this world. And it's those types of positive thinking that allow a person to continue to be steadfast in difficult times. So this is one practical tip. Think about a moment in your life in the past where things were difficult and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped you and aided you. A second practical tip, my dear brother and sister, is have sabr by thinking of all the other blessings in your life. This is something so simple yet so powerful. With shaitan, what he does is that he makes us zoom into one problem, one thing that is wrong in our life, until we become blind to everything else that is good in our life. And if you were to take a scale, on one side place your problems, and on the other side place all of your blessings, which do you think would weigh heavier? Subhanallah, Allah has given us so many blessings that we could not count them. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا Allah says, if you were to try and count and number the blessings, you would not be able to. Meaning, number one, what I have done for you, you cannot even perceive of its greatness. But number two, if you were to count your blessings, it would actually help you to trivialize the few things that are not going right in your life. And this is an amazing way to practice sabr. You're going through a financial worry and you tell yourself, yeah, that's true. I'm not doing very well financially. Alhamdulillah, my health is good. Alhamdulillah, I'm able to walk and talk and move. I have friends, I have family, I have loved ones. I have so many blessings that I have yet to thank Allah for. And as you go through them one by one, what happens? That problem that was blowing up in your mind starts to diminish slowly but surely. And what is amazing is that Allah says in the Quran, إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ If you are grateful, I'll give you more. So if you're grateful about what you have, you'll end up having even more. And Allah also says in the Quran that if you are grateful, فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِ Then you're only being grateful for yourself. What does that mean? It means saying thank you to Allah doesn't make Allah even greater. It doesn't benefit Allah. Who then does it benefit? It benefits your own self. You become a stronger person. You become more mentally fit. And you become someone who is more positive in their life and therefore achieves more in their life as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the sabireen and people that know how to lift themselves from difficult times by relying and trusting on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقيموا الصلاة